Grace, I don't know how you're going to keep doing it. Not much longer. Many of you know me and my wife, Carol. We were missionaries with the Alliance in a couple different places, 17 years in West Africa and then 22 years in France. This several months ago, the church that we started in France was able to purchase a building, the bottom floor of a two-story building, and then somebody gave them a gift and they were able to purchase the second floor of this two-story building, and now they're in the process of transforming that building into a church. And it's exciting for us to see that happen. You know, you do everything you can, and we hope for years and years and years, the whole time we were there, that we'd be able to help them buy a building. But the Lord had different plans, and we're just excited to see what God's doing there. You also know that I'm pastor at the mission, Goodwin's Rescue Mission. These are hard days for people who are out on the street. We started a new ministry called the Street Squad. We go out twice a week. We'll be doing it more often than that. And we go out in the mornings. We take a little bit of food, a lot of water, sometimes some hygiene stuff to help those who are living in camps. We were low on water, and so we sent out a request asking for water, and we got in, 4,000, 5,000 bottles of water in 2 days. It's amazing to see what people in Reading are doing, and we thank the Lord. On Friday morning, the Street Squad went out. Normally, we give people a bottle or two. They were giving out 4 bottles on Friday morning. Pray for those people out in the camps. These are hard days for those folks. Thank you for the beautiful songs we had this morning. It's good to be able to have a worship like that, and I enjoy worshiping with our church family here. There was a story written in the late 1800s about a Jewish family in Russia, actually in Ukraine, that was owned, taken over by Russia. That story seems to happen several times, doesn't it? The story is about how the traditional life and customs were challenged by a changing culture. Teva, the father, had married his wife the traditional way. The village matchmaker had arranged for the couple to be married. They had no say in the decision. Now it's time for Teva's daughters to get married, and he's got a bunch of them. They don't like the choice of the matchmaker and have already found someone else that they want to marry. A marriage based not on tradition, but on love. As the story progresses, Teva begins to wonder if his traditional marriage has anything to do with love. "Do you love me?" he asks. All she initially comes up with is a list of things she does for him. Laundry, cooking, milking the cow, having children, sleeping together, and some more things. And he asks, "Do you love me?" And what does she do? She avoids the response. Finally, they come to the conclusion that even though they didn't know each other until their wedding day, they have grown into love. In the Old Testament, God says to the Jewish people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." God goes on to repeat that mandate several times. He asks them the question, "What does the Lord ask of you? Fear the Lord your God, walk in obedience to him, love him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." And then he says again, "Love the Lord your God." One day when Jesus was out teaching, a young man came running up to him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" During the conversation, Jesus told him, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. His response was, I have done all of that. Jesus then responded, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. The guy walked away sad. To truly fulfill the commandment, his heart needed to belong to God, not just doing all of those things. When a religious leader asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Isn't it amazing that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the same thing? Jesus walked on the earth for 3 years with his disciples. It seems as though he was closer to some than others, one of those being Peter. We all remember when Peter said that he would go anywhere, do anything, even die with Jesus. And then Jesus told him, tonight you will deny me 3 times. And then he did. Sometime during the next 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he encountered Peter and some of the other disciples early in the morning out along the lake when Peter had gone out to go fishing with his friends. Jesus prepared a meal of fish and bread. After they finished eating, Jesus had a conversation with Peter. He asked him 3 times, do you love me? Peter could have answered by saying, I left my nets, I walked with you, I worshiped you, I ate with you, I cut off a guy's ear for you, and you ask me, do I love you? But he didn't. He responded, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Not once, but 3 times. Remember all the conversations and teachings that Peter heard from Jesus? The young man who came and asked, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus' response. And then the discussion that Jesus had with the teacher who asked, what's the greatest commandment? Peter had heard those things. He knew what God desired when God asked the question, do you love me? He knew what it meant to love the Lord, and he wanted to affirm to Jesus that in spite of his denial, he did love Jesus. Then Jesus gave him a lifelong task. Feed and take care of the Lord's sheep. Become a shepherd to them. But do it out of love for God. What does it mean to love God? How do we know if we love him? Remember what the wife said in the movie clip? I do your laundry, cook your meals, cleaned your house, slept in the same bed with you for 25 years, have children with you, milk your cow, fought with you, starved with you, lived with you, and on and on and on. And you ask, do I love you? Yet she had to think about it. Do I love him? Like he did with Peter, Jesus asks us, do you love me? Our response could be, I read my Bible every day or almost every day. I pray, I sing praise songs. And Jesus asks, do you love me? And we respond, I clean the church bathrooms. I teach the kids in Sunday school. I give money to the church. I make food for the potluck. I help the missionaries. I went on a missions trip. And Jesus asks us, do you love me? And we say, I give to the poor, I got baptized, I followed the rules, and we have a litany of things that we can say, trying to convince Jesus that by all of what we have done, we love him. And Jesus asks us the question again, do you love me? The problem with the rich young ruler was that he had a list of what he did, hoping that it would be enough, but fearing that there was more. Why else would he ask? His hope was in what I do for God, my observance to the law. He didn't understand what Jesus said to the religious leader, love the Lord your God with everything you have. Love for God is a relationship. That's how God always starts. His love for us is relationship-centered. His desire for us to spend eternity is relationship-centered. Doing things is important, but must flow out of the relationship that we have with him. Adam and Eve started off with a relationship with God. Moses had a deep relationship with God. David had a wonderful relationship with God. Peter finally had a beautiful relationship with God. We will never keep God's commandments perfectly or be righteous enough before him by our own efforts. That's why if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God was raised, that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all relationship. To be able to truly love God, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. As Christ followers, we strive to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, being transformed by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Love is hard work. Love for God begins with the heart. To put him first in everything. The number one commandment is to love God. It's an undivided love. God is our priority. If we love God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, then we won't allow other things to crowd in. Our love for God is manifest by loving people, but we do not love the things of the world. Our heart directs our thoughts and feelings. When we feel a thing, we tend to think a thing. Managing our heart starts with managing our emotions, as we make them submit to the truth of God's word. His word is the final word, even above our emotions. To love God with all our heart is to worship and praise him. Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The book of Psalms provides many beautiful examples of how to worship and praise our Creator. And I can give you a whole list of psalms that talk about that. Worship, not just singing, but worship, is the result of my love for him and follows what comes from my heart. Listen to what David says in Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Notice the intensity of the love that David has for God, the love that he encourages each one of us to have for God. That's what it means to love God with all your heart. To love God is also to desire him, to yearn for his righteousness, his word, and his grace, to love him with all our soul. The soul is that in which we have life. It's our affections and what disgusts us. The soul is that in which to love God with all our soul is to love him in a way where we love what he loves and are repulsed by what repulses him. Even in our hobbies, in what we enjoy, we can give thanks to God that we get to enjoy them because we love him with all of our soul. David wrote, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." And boy, don't we pant for water in these days. Once we taste and see that the Lord is good, we want more of him. If we love God, the psalmist's description of the Word of God will resonate within us. It's more precious than gold, than much pure gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. To love God with all your soul is to love him sincerely. To love God is to love him with your entire mind. By mind, we mean in our imagination, our understanding. To have spiritual understanding is to stand under God's truth. It is to allow his truth to be the highest standing over everything else. We love God with all our mind and our imagination. We love him intelligently. It's interesting, isn't it, that the word says, lean not on your own understanding. But then Paul comes back and tells us, renewing your mind. Renewing your mind, and the renewing of our mind comes from our deep relationship and love for God and knowing the truth of his word. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think. Use your mind. Be intelligent about those kinds of things. Discover ways to stimulate your thinking, your mental exploration into ways that challenge you to love God with all of your mind. Read, reflect, meditate, discover God. To love God with all your strength is to seek with every fabric of your being to draw near to God. Excuse me as I change pages here. Sean doesn't have that problem, does he? It's to fight the good fight of faith, to run our race with perseverance, to not give up, and to pray without ceasing, with all of our strength. When God is our all in all, we love him with our all. We know we love Jesus by what we consistently, not perfectly, do and don't do. We know this because Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Remember the rich young ruler? He kept the commandments, but the love part hadn't entered in yet. The apostle John echoed Jesus when he wrote, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." This is where we can say, "You know, I love you, Lord. I teach Sunday school. I go camping with the youth. I prepare communion. I fast. I take time away to be with you alone. And on top of that, we love our neighbors as ourselves." It's all that stuff that we do with all of our energy because we love God. It's all there and all valid because we love Jesus with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when that happens, we have a deep desire to do, not for ourselves, but rather to glorify God. Energetically, we love God energetically. At face value, these statements should make anyone who loves Jesus uncomfortable. We all know intuitively that the essence of love is not merely its actions.
That's why we laugh at a husband handing his wife a big bouquet of flowers on their wedding anniversary and telling her, "I'm just fulfilling my obligation." And she says, "Do you love me?" It's why everyone understands the illustration of a husband asking, "Must I kiss my wife before bedtime?" Because we know the answer is yes, but it's not that kind of must, an obligation, you gotta do it. With the obligation, there is no intimacy, no real love. It's all very superficial with no real heartfelt commitment. Must is a have to. An obligation with consequences and becomes legalism. It's not a heart desire. Neither Jesus nor John meant that obeying Jesus' commandments is the same thing as love. What they meant was that love for God by its very nature produces the consistent characteristic of the obedience of faith. So on earth, where we're at, love for Christ looks like obeying Christ. Now, love and obedience are not the same things. Love is our valuing or treasuring Christ, and obedience is our doing what Christ says. The essence of each is different. Though they are distinct, they are inseparable. We cannot love Christ without trusting or exercising faith in him. We cannot trust Christ without obeying him. So naturally, we cannot love Christ if we live in persistent, conscientious disobedience to him. God has wired us to serve what we treasure. How do we love our spouse or our children, our friends or coworkers, or pets? It's evident by how we serve or neglect them. Whether we love God or things is evident by how we serve or neglect the one or the other. Whether we love God or things is really important. In April, we have April Cool Nights for our city of Reading, for our area. One of the cool things about April Cool Nights is the show and shine, and you can go all places all over the city and go to a show and shine. The show and shine indicates how much a person really loves their car. And boy, some of those guys, they get that thing out there and they're touching it and shining it and making sure it's just perfect because they want to win some kind of a prize. We also have a kind of show and shine with other things. What kinds of things do you have that you show and shine? Some people have their voice when they sing, and I'm not talking about you or Laura. But some people, when they sing, they like to show and shine their voice. Some people with their physique love to show and shine what they've built. Some people, you can just go on and on, and I'm not going to, but the question is, what do I show and shine? Imagine a little boy sees his dad with his car, and it's beautifully shined up and all beautiful, and this little boy knows that his dad loves his car. So to show the dad that the boy loves him as much as he loves his car, he takes a little marker out, and he draws a heart on it, and he says, "Daddy, I love you," on the car. He's showing what he knows how to do with his heart to his daddy. The daddy, of course, might not respond too happily to that. But if he's like our loving Father in heaven, he'll embrace his son and thank him so much for showing his love. It's true that we sometimes can hide our true love, sometimes even from ourselves, at least for a while. But God has a way of exposing our love. This is what the parable of the Good Samaritan is about, which nearly all of us are guaranteed the opportunity to live out in different ways and at different times in our lives. The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan all outed their love by the ways they responded to that man. We know what love is by what love does. It's also what the story of the rich young man in Mark was about. He seemed at least partially blind to his own love, because though he thought he had done lots of obedient things, something was troubling his soul, which is why he came to Jesus. But Jesus saw the man's soul clearly and with one sentence drew everyone's attention to it. You lack one thing. Go, sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Then it was clear the man could not obey Jesus because he loved his stuff more than he loved Jesus. It's in that thing that Jesus says, do you love me? How do we love Jesus? By what we consistently, not perfectly, do and don't do. All lovers of Jesus keenly know we don't love him perfectly. We know what love is by what love does. All lovers of Jesus refuse to walk in persistent, conscious disobedience to him. Our faith-empowered obedience in public and private places is the God-designed evidence of our love for Jesus. Finally, to love God is to obey him. Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey what I command. However, this is not a matter of merely following rules and registering good deeds or our duty to an obligation. It's about having God's love written indelibly on our hearts. That little kid goes up to his dad's car, and with the marker, he puts a heart on it. And it says, I heart you, Dad. We want to express that same love and affection back to our God. We naturally wish to please him, to please those we love. When we love God, we will want to please him and obey his commands eagerly. We read in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will. God said to his people in the Old Testament, at the place where they offered sacrifices, which God demanded of them, for I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. When Teva asked Golda, do you love me? He was unsure of her love for him. He knew that there was duty and obligation, but he wasn't sure that there was love. When God asks us, do you love me? It's not because he's not sure of our love. It's to remind us that we need to continue to love him and to grow in our love for him and to practice our love for him in what we do with other people around us. It's all based on the relationship, and it's a challenge for us to go deep into our hearts. You can come up. Now, you've got your sermon notes, and you're probably not able to take too many notes on the sermon notes, but there's a reason for that. Because I want you to take your sermon notes and go home with them, having these spots where it says heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then reflect. How do I love God? Let God ask you the question, do you love me? And then write down, with my heart, how do I love you? With my soul, how do I love you? With my mind, how do I love you? And in my strength, how do I love you? That's your homework assignment. And then if you belong to a connection group, talk about it at your connection group. And discover how you're all loving God in various and different ways. And it might be that as you go through this assignment, you'll find a different way that you need to start loving God. Because Jesus is asking us, not just one time, but every day of our life, do you love me? Father, We thank you that you love us and that you love us deeply. Thank you for Jesus, who gave his life for us. And I pray, God, that as we live our lives in relationship with you, that you will allow us to discover deeper ways to express our love to you through our hearts, in our souls, with our minds, and in our strength. In the name of Jesus, amen.